So we have begun this series of sermons on the great passage in John's Gospel in which Jesus says, I am. And it's amazing that there are so many of them in John's Gospel, and they're only in John's Gospel. And it really causes you to wonder if this is not what John's Gospel is all about. Saying this Jesus, who the church acknowledged and who is forming a group around him that became the church 2,000 years later and continuing, that this Jesus is not just some man who was a great leader and who said some magical words and did some magical things, but that he is the I am. And when he claims this of himself and says, I am the light, I am the bread, I am the way, that he is using a term that is the name of God given to Moses back in the book of Exodus, when Moses said, whom shall I say has sent me when I go to the Israelites in Egypt? Who will they believe? And the Lord said, I am who I am. I am has sent you. And that is the name that God gave to the Israelites. He is the I am. And here we have Jesus applying this term to himself. And is it any wonder that this made the leaders angry and even desire to see him gone and to plot against him? Pastor Connie talked about a passage in John 10 where Jesus says, I am the gate, or in the traditional King James, it is, I am the door. But she rightly pointed out, as the modern versions take it, that it is the gate to the sheepfold that Jesus is talking about here. And as the gate, he is the way in. She made that point. Now, the passage we're looking at today, in which Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, is in that same chapter. And what we talked about last week and today, it's all intertwined in the image that Jesus was creating about a shepherd and sheep. And that's what we're going to focus on today. Begin in John chapter 10, verse 1. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them. Isn't that interesting? John refers to it as a figure of speech or a metaphor, the shepherd sheep image. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. Now, that's in verse 7. Skip down to verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now, did John forget what he was saying? Jesus reported initially that he is the gate. Now he's saying he is the shepherd. How can he get these images confused? Well, you might remember last week, Pastor Connie put up this picture of the shepherd actually being the gate, guarding the entrance and being the way in. And it seems John is building on that. And he, what starts as an inanimate object, the gate, becomes a person, the shepherd, and not just the shepherd, but the good shepherd. And Jesus himself says, I am the good shepherd. So in our original slide of I am the gate, we're going to see now how he adds to that, I am the good shepherd. We're going to read from John chapter 10, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd does not own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also. And they will listen to my voice, for there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. And I have received this power, this command from my Father. The shepherd, the good shepherd. That metaphor of a shepherd and sheep is recognized as a good one in the Old Testament. And there was a history of this being used as an image long before John wrote his gospel. You know, of course, Psalm 23, which says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And the first implication of that is, "I shall not want." And he goes on to talk about other ways in which the good shepherd cares for his sheep. That's a beautiful psalm that many of us have memorized. And even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil because the good shepherd is walking with us. The shepherd and his flock, beautiful image that we see in Psalm 23. A serene, comforting image of symbiosis between sheep and the shepherd, and they're all one in a sense. There's another Old Testament passage that also adds to this, probably written even before Psalm 23 was written, and this is found in Ezekiel chapter 34. And Ezekiel first talks about the shepherds who were leading the people of Israel, and they were not doing a good job. And these shepherds, the leaders, were like the hired hands in the image that John uses. The sheep didn't belong to them, so ultimately they would not lay down their life for the sheep. And he talks about the betrayal of the leaders. But finally he contrasts this with the picture of God as the shepherd, beginning in Ezekiel 34:11. "For thus says the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will sort them out. As shepherds sort out their flocks when they are among scattered sheep, so I will sort out my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them into their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the watercourses and in all the inhabited parts of the land. I will feed them with good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel shall be their pasture. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and they shall feed on rich pasture on the mountain of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I will make them lie down, says the Lord God." By the way, the Lord God there, the word God is the word Yahweh, which comes from the root I am. So this is the I am saying this to the people of Israel. "I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strays, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, but the fat and strong I will destroy. I will feed them with justice." Now, there's some interesting observations about sheep in this passage of Ezekiel, and I'm going to give them to you. There are four of them that add dimensions to what John is saying about the Good Shepherd. First of all, and note this, sheep can refer to one sheep, and it can refer to a whole bunch of sheep. Now, I say that's a man, and you guys are men. That's a person, and you guys are people. We have different words for the singular and plural. But a sheep, that's one sheep, or it can be the whole flock. So the plural of sheep is sheep. And I was amazed to find out that there are a number of animals that this, in the English language, that we use this singular plural equality for. And they're all animals that herd together or flock together or school together. Think of it. You got sheep and sheep and flocks. You have deer and deer, singular and plural. You have moose and meese. Moose and moose, right. Elk, elk is singular, elk is plural. Antelope is singular, antelope is plural. Bison is singular, bison is plural. Fish, singular and plural. And these are all animals that gather into a flock or a herd or a school in the case of fish. And you can see them as individuals or you can also see them as a flock. That's kind of interesting background for the study of this passage. So there are some times when Ezekiel refers to the sheep and they're just indiscriminate sheep. But then he says, I will sort them out. He says that three times. I'll sort them out. So they are a flock. They're sheep. But I'm going to take each sheep and evaluate each sheep individually. All alike. Here's a picture of the ABC flock. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I recognize you. There you are. You're all sheep, but you're all individual sheep as well. And I get it. I get it. And this when you individualize it, you get some different things happening. For instance, think of the wonderful picture that Jesus described in Matthew 18 when he said, what do you think? Verse 18, 12. What do you think? If a shepherd has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of the one that got away? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 that never went astray. So it is not the will of you, of your Father in heaven, that one of these little ones should be lost. And we have a beautiful picture of Jesus carrying that one lost sheep. And that image, you know, we identify because we often feel that helpless. And we need that kind of a shepherd. Here. And you can focus on that one because sheep are so cute, right? Some sheep. But this 11th verse of Ezekiel 34 says, for thus the Lord says, the Lord God, I myself will search for my sheep and will sort them out. As shepherds sort out their flocks when they are among scattered sheep, so I will sort out my sheep. And so when he sorts them out, some of them turn out to be fat bullies. So where do I get that? I get it straight from Ezekiel. I didn't put the verse down. Ezekiel talks about, down to verse 20. Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you pushed, listen to this, you pushed with flank and shoulder and butted all the weak animals with your horns till you scattered them far and wide. I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged. I will judge between sheep and sheep. Another place where he says, I'll judge between goats, sheep, and goats. But here he says, between sheep and sheep. And the fat bully sheep, does it make you think of anybody? Okay. yourself?
Okay.
So Jesus notices that. The good shepherd knows which sheep are out there just for themselves, which are taking the best space and so forth. And then in Ezekiel 34, let me see if I'm on target here. Oh, and then we not only have the bully sheep, but we have a dirty feet sheep. Okay, now this is described in verse 16 of Ezekiel 34, very graphically. It is not enough for you to feed on the good pasture. You must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture. When you drink of clear water, must you foul the rest with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have fouled with your feet? That's something else. If you watch sheep or other animals do the same thing. They're feeding on the ground, but they're walking on the same ground, and they're walking through things which I won't describe, and in the muddy ground, and they're fouling the food. Well, so there are some dirty feet sheep that the Lord wants to sort out. On the other hand, and this is an interesting thing, there are other sheep. There are other sheep. It's kind of striking if you read this in context. Verse 18. Excuse me. What verse is it? The verse where he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Now, those guys don't belong. But they do belong. And these other sheep of not of this fold that the Lord brings, we have to accept all the other sheep. Amen. That's the Lord's flock that he has called together. This is, and all of these relate to the I am. I am the good shepherd, and I am the one who cares for the sheep. And that is God himself. Remember, I pointed out that these I ams are connected with God's naming of himself, the I am, to Moses. Say, I am has sent you. John begins his gospel, and this doesn't have the exact words I am, but I think it really ties into this. He begins his gospel in an unusual way. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The made flesh refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he moves on to a historical event. He talks about John the Baptist, another John, who was preaching, and we know, not only from the New Testament, but from other writings of the time, that John the Baptist had an extensive ministry before Jesus. Now, John was a little older than Jesus, according to Matthew's gospel, and he's presented as a cousin of Jesus. But he finally encounters him when John is a popular minister with following, and along comes this upstart. In John chapter 1, verse 29, the next day he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and declared, here is the Lamb of God. The King James Version that we may have grown up with says, behold, the Lamb of God. Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I am the gate. No, it's more personal than that. I am the shepherd, the good shepherd. No, it's deeper than that. I am the Lamb. Wait. Does John lose track of all these metaphors? Can't he keep a fix on who Jesus is? No, he is the gate. He is the shepherd. He is the Lamb. Let's continue with John 1:29, 1:30. This is he. This is he, the I am, of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. Remember, John was born before Jesus. But here he's saying the opposite, because he's saying the same thing as was said of Abraham in John chapter 8, that Abraham, before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus was the I am before John the Baptist came into the world. He is before me because he was before me. And John said in verse 31, I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and testified that this is the chosen one. This is the chosen one. So I'd like to add to that slide that said, I am the gate. I am the shepherd. I am the lamb. And I'd like you to think about this. Sheep were raised for wool, of course. But the secret is they were also raised for mutton. And our primary meats are probably chicken, beef, and pork. But in the Middle East, historically and to this day, the primary meat is the meat of sheep, either lamb or adult lamb, which is mutton. So they were raised for their wool. They were raised for their meat. But in ancient Israel and to Jesus' day, there was one other purpose. They were raised for sacrifice. The whole Old Testament talks about this. When the temple was established, bring your lamb without spot or blemish and bring that lamb and sacrifice it as an act of now. All of that was abolished when Jesus came, but it's a reality that the sheep, when he says, I am the lamb, Jesus is saying, I am the sacrifice. I am the one provided so that you can be redeemed of your sin. Think of it. Think of it. He is the door. He is the way. He is the gate, yes. But he is personally the door as the good shepherd. And even beyond that, he is the lamb. So totally identified with the sheep that he is the lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And in John 10, our original passage about the good shepherd, he ends that passage, verse 15, by saying, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Skip to verse 17. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Of all the I ams, this one really zeroes in on Christ's ultimate purpose. He is the gate of the sheepfold, but he's the personal gate of the sheepfold. And he's the good shepherd who cares for the flock and who cares for every individual in the flock. And he is also the lamb who lays down his life for the sheep. In the book of Revelation, there is a vision of a future day when things will all culminate and we'll see the purpose for things that we don't see now. And in this, in chapter 7, I'd like to read a passage. And this is how we will end our service. Then one of the elders addressed me in the vision, saying, who are these robed in white, and where have they come from? I said to them, Sir, you are the one who knows. Then he said to me, These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more. They will thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. Oh, now, the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Thank you for this vision and how well it fits with the reality we know of who Jesus was and is and forever will be. Amen.